Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for coming to celebrate together what God is doing in our lives. And if you're new here, welcome. If you're still working out, if this is home, welcome to you. We're busy with a 17-week sermon series. Just a joke, it feels that long. 4-week sermon series. And tonight is week 3. Next week we'll be finishing off with Pastor Hackley's Opperman that will be coming in. But before we do that, I'd like to just call Marilise to the front. And we are losing and sending one of God's daughters who's just been a real great servant in this house. And Marilise, thank you for sharing your talent on stage with us and the violin. And thank you for bringing your faith. Thank you for intercession. She's a true intercessor every week, faithful, 4 o'clock in the morning, feels that way. Praying and just hearing God and standing on the walls with us. We really appreciate it and love you. We're going to miss you. Can I ask, please take the time after this service to ask her testimony. She's got an incredible testimony of what God's doing in her life and where she's going. She's not going too far. She's going home for a little while to visit the folks, and then she's going to Paul. I don't know what happens in Paul, but yeah. And after Cape Town, I don't think there's anything else. But we're just going to pray and send her. Can I ask that we raise our hands as a congregation? And we have the ability to receive people, for you that's new, and we have the ability to send people with the mandate of God. And let's just put that mandate on Marilise. Lord, we thank you for Marilise. We thank you for a faith that she's brought here. We thank you for the road, Lord. We thank you for her work, Lord. We thank you for the learning, Lord. We thank you for her growth here in this house. Lord, we send her with the peace of Jesus Christ to go with her, Lord, and to continue building the kingdom of God. We thank you for her gifts and talents. We pray that it will be used continually to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And you'll see in this sermon, I'm going to talk a little bit about the power of sending and receiving a little later on. But for now, that's where we're going to start. If it's okay, I'd like to... I'm terribly tinny. Why am I so tinny again tonight? On this mic. I feel like I'm a bad rapper. Tinny. It's an English word for my Afrikaans friends. Blikkerig. Blikkerig. So I'd like to give you a little bit of a catch-up on what I preached on 2 weeks ago. Is that all right? Was anyone in the house 2 weeks ago? Praise Jesus. I wasn't here last week, so I missed Tiense's sermon. It was about Ephesus, and it's awesome. But that's all I know about that. So 2 weeks ago, I started with Joshua 5, verse 13 and 14, where Joshua stands before the Lord, and the Lord comes in with a sword, and Joshua runs up to him and says, "Are you friend or foe?" You remember that? And then the good Lord said, "Neither." And I want to hold that before us as in the back of our mind. And then I'd like us to go into the next slide, please, Ryan, of community. Now, this is not doctrine. This is my understanding of community for believers. If you like it, put it on Facebook. If you don't like it, leave it. Where our uniqueness is accepted and celebrated and brings us together in our cause to pursue Jesus Christ and godliness by submitting to the Holy Spirit in reverence to one another. So your uniqueness is important here. And then finally, we went through the disciples and we saw three things that were pointed out, the revelations that they had, three things that happened in their lives. The first thing was a revelation of Christ, where Jesus opened their eyes to Scripture to understand Scripture. The second was broken humility, and I put with that repentance. And thirdly, obedience to the point of dependency. And with that backdrop, I'm going to take the next step into the body of Christ, if that's all right. So are you all ready this evening? Are you strapped in? I've got a clip. Who wants to see a clip? Come on, half of us. The rest of us accountants. Clips are cool, okay? Engineers, a clip is a good thing. All right, right.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. So yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
One day I pray that I can preach like that. This evening we're speaking on the body of Christ. And my subtitle this evening is Compassion of the Saints. And for us to understand compassion and for us to understand what we called for as the body of Christ, we need to understand Jesus. We need to know him. So, I'm doing it like Star Wars did it. I'm going backwards and backwards and backwards as I'm going forwards. Is that right? Okay, does anyone... Are you too old to know what Star Wars is? All right? So I want to say that I built a foundation, but underneath this foundation that we've been speaking for the last 2 weeks comes another basic foundation, and we're going to focus on what we call the head of the body, what Scripture speaks about the head, being Jesus Christ. And the part that I want us to focus on tonight, if that's all right with you, is that we focus on the compassion of Jesus. Is that good? For three people, it's good. Of course, Mama, of course. Mama Silva, you are my favorite. Can I ask that you give training to the church, how church works? All right? And you're going to teach people how to participate in a sermon. Because the rest, Mama, we struggle. We struggle to participate. All right. I need more Sylvias in the house. Amen? Amen. Thank you. See, Mama Sylvia, great start. Well done with that one. Man, I have squirreled beyond. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and pray, Lord, this evening that we'll take one step closer in being in the likeness of Jesus Christ. For some of us, Lord, it's the first step. For others, Lord, it's just the next step. Father, I pray that we will walk out here with something transformed in our spirits, that we will have more compassion than we've had before. And so we come and submit our minds, our hearts, our spirits before you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll take that space. Show us the love of Jesus. Lord, there's a hungry, hungry world that desires just something, and they don't know what it is. And as we'll hear tonight, Lord, it is all that they need is you. It's just you. But I pray that you'll help us to get into the mind space of being able to bring the compassion of Christ. And so, Lord, we put up our greasy hands and we say, we are keen. We said yes to you, some of us many, many years ago already. But we've not changed our mind, and that's why we're still here. That's why we sit here tonight, because of our love for you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. To truly understand the body, we need to connect with the head. It's all about Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Despising the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hold on. I'll get that now. Tonight we're looking at the compassion of Christ. Luke 19, verse 41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. There's a few places in Scripture that we see really God's compassion, Christ's compassion for us. I'm going to read some of them. If you can close your eyes, it's not on the board. Luke 7. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. This is where Christ is about to raise a little boy from the dead, of a widow. Matthew 15, and Jesus called his disciples and said to him, I feel compassion for the people, because they've remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Before Christ was even on earth, Isaiah 40 says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Matthew 9 says, seeking the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and like sheep without a shepherd. Later on in Matthew 14:14, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and then healed the sick. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. We see this compassion every time before Christ does a miracle. Before he heals someone, before he does anything, Scripture says to us something about Christ. He says that Christ is moved in compassion. A very famous story in Scripture is in John 11, and let's look at that. Jesus speaking, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. This speaking about Lazarus, a good friend of Christ, just before he raised him. You see, Jesus doesn't weep because Lazarus died. He weeps for the people. He weeps out of compassion for God's people. I've been threatening now for years to give a sermon on just this portion of Scripture. And when God releases me to do it, I will. Maybe we'll have a few testimonies of raising people from the dead with that. But we see the intense love that Christ has for people. There's an incredible play, I think it was written in 1920, and then later on, as I understand, there was a book made after it, or who knows how it all works in those days in the 1920s, called Lazarus Laughed. And I don't suggest you read the book. I haven't read it. I'm not going to. But it's an interesting theory that this book is written on. It's an interesting concept. The concept is that it's written about Lazarus, and after Lazarus was raised from the dead, he realized death had no power over him anymore. And he would continuously just go into this laughter and this joy that God had given him. And as everyone else was getting older, Lazarus was getting younger. Okay, I know there's this new movie, what's it? I heard everyone, Benjamin Button of the Benjamins, what's it? The Curious. You see, repent later of that movie. But it's sort of like Lazarus just gets younger and younger while everyone gets older and older. An interesting theory. It's just a fun story. It's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. We can't prove that at all. But what I like about it is that no more Lazarus had the fear of death. Christ's compassion can raise us from the dead. Spiritually, obviously, as well. The compassion of Christ. You see, in 1 Corinthians, and this is a really important scripture, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. See, this is a beautiful concept. The day you said yes to the Lord, the day that you stood in the, before the altar and said yes to Jesus, was the day that a transformation started happening. The transformation where the Lord's Spirit started becoming your spirit. It's the same as when you get married. The two become one. You've become one with Christ. And so there's a space that God gives us to move in compassion. There's a place in the spirit and in the natural where we are able to bring that compassion that Christ had. If I had to give a subtitle to my title, if I had to give a subtitle to my subtitle, it would be the power of compassion. When last have you had a moment where God touched you in your spirit so much that you started grieving, wailing, weeping, being undone, God touching you? I'd love to invite you all to come and join us on a Thursday morning. We've had some incredible times in the last few months where God just touches 5, 6 of the intercessors, and we go into like a deep wailing, a deep grieving, where God has the ability to touch us in the spirit, and we can sense God's heart for a situation or for a city. And out of that, we are able to go before the throne room of God and go and fetch an anointing of God and just release it. And in that moment, you're just undone. The Lord has often, especially in the past, laid people in my heart to pray for. And then as I'm praying for them, I would just break down because God would just show me who this person is. And I go, but Lord, person A that I see is not person B that you see. And I'm able to say, you are so and so. God says you are this. Like Christ saw Peter, Simon, you're a reed tossed to and fro. But I call you to be Peter the Rock. And in that moment, my heart would break and I'd go into deep, deep grievance, deep wailing for that person, deep place of intercession where I'm able to release God's heart over that person. Has anyone here experienced something like that? I believe God's calling us again to be able to be in that place where we can look over Cape Town and we can start weeping. If we want revival, I'm not sure we do, but if we want revival, that's what has to happen in the hearts of the saints. Now, some of you were last week at my session on Wednesday, and I'm really enjoying what God's doing there with us. And if you're not there, can I ask that you sit down with someone and let them just talk to you what God is doing? But last week, I asked Chad to share a testimony. I'm going to ask him again to come and share this evening. So for those that you've heard, may it minister twice as deep. And those that you haven't have heard it yet, may it cut deep into our hearts. Chad, come and share that amazing testimony.
Thank you. Cool. If I cry, it's okay. I will live. at small group, I really, people who were there, no. So do excuse me. We 2 weeks ago, we had a healing session. The guy, I don't know what's his name, Diebe, he came, taught a lot of things, and it was really amazing. And we prayed for one another for healing. My hand got healed that night, which was amazing. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I left there really inspired because it's something that God's really laying in my heart. So Thursday during the day at work, I was there. I was thinking, okay, God, okay, we were sent out to pray for 5 people that week for healing. And I was all amped, yes. And Thursday, during my time at work, I was thinking, okay, where do we find sick people? The hospital. Yes, so after work, I was like all amped, going to the hospital from work. And somewhere, there was just dropped in my spirit, you have no compassion. And I was like, God, is it you or the devil? But it really sink in really hard into my heart. And I went home. I didn't go to the hospital. And I'm like, okay, God, then give me this compassion. Because I kind of figure I don't have. I'm really too pride, if I can be honest. And I didn't spend a lot of time with the Lord or prayed a lot or anything. I just like, okay, this is it. I realized it. I don't know how to get it. So my plans were canceled Thursday. So Friday, during my day at the work, listened to sermons all the day. And yeah, it's battling. It's struggling me, this compassion thing. And I ask God, give me this. I want this. And on my way to home, then I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go to the hospital. I need to pray for somebody. And as soon as that decision came, I saw a vision. I've saw many visions before, but this one is so clear as daylight. God showing me exactly the room, exactly the bed in the hospital I need to go. It was Somerset Hospital. We as a small group went there about 2 years ago, so I kind of know where. I'm like, okay, cool, thank you. And I start praying for that, worshiping in the car. And the moment I went into that room at the hospital, that exact bed, that was a horrible sight. Because there was a guy lying there with his mom and his brother there, and he was like purple from head to toe. He was on a breathing machine. He was really at a desperate place. And I walked in there, and I'm like, this is not what I signed up for, Lord. So I did as any good Christian would. I go to the bed next to him. So I went there, and I prayed for the dude. I talked to him, and yeah, I just prayed with him and encouraged him. He was a nice guy, very quiet. But while I was there, I just feel this God being like, this is not why you are here. So, and then I came up with excuses. I don't want to bother him with his time with his family and his brother and his mom. And, you know, God, I can't do that. So, yeah, I just went then. I just started talking. I heard there was Afrikaans, so I'm like, oh, dankie toch. Just because it's more natural to me, as you can hear. So I just went to talk to them and say, okay, cool. I felt like God showed me this bed to come and pray for you. I don't know what you guys believe. Yeah, nee, ons is ook van die kerk. But yeah, I just ended up talking with Tani Mari. She's very cool. And she was also in a wheelchair. Her one leg is off and the other leg was badly infected as well. It was just such a hopeless situation. And yeah, I was just like shivering the whole time and I don't know what to say. I was like, God, please, you need to help me. And it becomes such a nice place where I can just pray for him. I can pray for her. I can pray for his brother. And it was just such an intense moment of just imparting God. And how God, as we pray, God just revealing stuff that I can pray for the family. Just encouraging. And the Tani asking me questions where I'm from. I ended up telling my whole testimony to them and what I believe God and just the love. And I gave them a number and I left. And it really just, something inside of me just happened. I don't know what it is, but yesy. I almost feel like crying now. But yeah, and yes, here it comes. I sometimes get angry at my tears. But I haven't heard anything from them. And then the Tuesday evening, I was working late. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to the hospital again. But before I left work, she called me. And she said he died Saturday morning. But she said that really just meant a lot to know that God saw them. And I'm like, oh my word, God, what did you do? And yeah, she just said it meant a lot and thank you very much and yeah, all this. And then at the end, before she lay down, she said, but she went to bed that Friday night. She didn't have a good sleep because her son is. But after a while, about 5 o'clock, she woke up. And she had this dream where he is walking with Jesus. And there's a massive peace over the whole thing. And she's like, so what do you think that means? Okay, I don't know what it means. But yeah, I still have a number. I messaged her this morning. She messaged me. She asked to please stay in contact. So yeah, that's, I don't know. Cool.
Thank you, Gert. Jesus loves that family so much that before the passing, God's got a moment for that man that he can come into eternal, to walk into eternity. Gert was able to minister and bring the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I believe that man was able to, in that bed, receive Jesus. He paints the story quite nicely. It is a family with a hopeless situation. I think the father was already dead. It's not MediClinic, ladies and gentlemen. It's the other side. You know, the place we don't go to, the places we don't visit. It's a place of hopelessness. And all that Jesus says to Gert is, all you need is a little bit of compassion. Let me pour down that compassion. Because I just want to share it with my people. I truly believe that if it wasn't for Gert, for that moment, the Lord might have sent someone else. But that man was standing or lying before a time of decision of eternal life or eternal death. I don't know. It's maybe an assumption. But on his deathbed, he made right with God either way. Brought upon by compassion. The heart of Jesus. The first time Gert told the story last week, he's getting so much better. I'm going to get him to share it next week. I'm preaching at another church. I'm going to get him to share it there. First time it took him about 20 minutes to tell the story. He was just undone, crying. Snot and tears. So much better in Afrikaans. And I love that. I love that because it's beautiful. It is beautiful when God can touch you so deeply that you can become undone before people because it's so real, because that's how real Jesus is. The power of compassion. See, let's go through the great commandment. And he said to them, the Pharisees, the people of the day, wanted to know what is in the important laws, because they had so many laws, so much flesh. They wanted to know, so Jesus, which of all our laws is the most important? And Christ, with eternal wisdom, answers, and he says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. How kind of Christ to break it down that we don't have to go and learn the entire first five books of the Word of God. Off by heart, we need to know all the laws. I mean, I don't know if you've read through those books. Have you? The first five books of the Bible, all right? Genesis, awesome. I think it's a little bit more hectic, okay? The son of the son of the son of, you got to kill a goat, you got to kill a this, you got to kill a that. It was pretty hectic stuff that they had to do. And Christ says, forget about all of that. This is all you need. This is it. Compassion. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Can you look your neighbor in the eye and call them brother or sister. Can we look everyone in this room? Let's just start right here. You know, 90% of the church, about 90% of the church, we get on amazingly with, right? Because one, we don't know them, and two, they're always very friendly. Okay, Juliet's always friendly. It's very easy to love her. Monique's very easy to love because she's just bubbly, bubbly. I can hear you, Monique. I can't see you. You hear Monique before you see her, and you're just enthralled by that voice and that laughter. Alice Michelle, I don't know if you've ever heard her laugh. Come to intercession. After intercession, you can miss intercession. Come to breakfast. We do breakfast on Thursdays. And just sit 3 or 4 tables away and listen to her laugh. It is contagious. It's amazing. But can we do across the board, look each other in the eye and call him brother and sister? That's our challenge. Now, I think we're pretty good at this, to be honest. I don't think we're horrible. I think we're really, really good at this. But I think there's just a space that we must just move one more step closer to Jesus. Just one more step in that compassion. Not only for those that's of this flock, but those that aren't of this flock. I love having church here. I'm going to tell you why I love having church here. I love having church in this building because every week I get to be around real people. In our previous venue, it felt like there was no one ever around. It's just like a little island on its own, okay? It's at this massive intersection, that robot, you remember? And all now, and the only action we ever had was once or twice when cars rolled or crashed. And then it'd be action for 5 minutes. We'd run down and help out and be hilarious. Of the one situation, I got a squirrel myself. One time, this guy rolls his car around the corner. I do not know how you roll a car around that corner, but he rolled his car and karstot op its dak against the robot. And I don't know how he got out, but by the time I got out, so I immediately heard the car crash, immediately got out the office, there at the founders, and he's sitting on the pavement looking at the street, just like staring at the street. And this one guy comes up to him and says, "Dude, do you know you just rolled your car?" And that's really funny. The problem is I don't actually think the guy did realize it because he's just gone. I'm like, "Ooh, hallelujah, Lord." He was such in shock, I don't think he actually knew what happened. Funny situations that happen. But that's all action we had. What I love about this place is every day I'm around all sorts and sizes. And I love it. We have about 40 people, it's probably less now, about 10 people a day that still believe this is the post office. So 10 times a day we can say hello and greet people. And when we tell them that the post office is now a church, they look like that guy that sat on the pavement. Some people don't believe us. They still walk in. Like, "I'm sorry, it's not a post office anymore." You have to help them out. They've like walked all the way in. And then they want to know if it's a coffee shop. But it feels like in this area, there's more place for me to move in compassion. And I love that. Luke 10. I want us to look at how the Lord deals with situations, how he thinks when he was here on earth. So Christ says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, some scriptures say 70, and sent them on ahead of him, 2 by 2, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, we know the scripture so well, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of AKs. Wolves. Let's finish this little pop. Don't move it in the next scripture. Just hold it right here on. Carry no money bag, no napkins, knapsack. What? Napkins, neither. No sandals, and greet no one on the road. Okay. Let's put into today's vernacular. Ladies, leave your purses behind and your tissues and no food sacks, nothing, no eat, no camel pack, nothing. Leave your high heels behind. And if that's not bad enough, greet no one in the road. The rest is fine, but Sylvia needs to greet someone. All right. And I'm sending you into a place where there's a bunch of people with AKs and they're shooting. Sweet? Sweet. That's what God's saying there. The compassion of Christ was about to minister in the towns, and God says, go and prepare the towns. Make ready, I'm coming. Jesus says, I'm coming. The reason I believe that God says, do not greet anyone on the road, is not that God wanted to be different or difficult. But I think it was because he's training them, I need you to stay focused. I've got a mandate for you, and I need you to focus on the mandate. Don't get sidetracked, because when they greeted in those days, it was next level, okay? A greeting was a whole ritual. Okay, you remember those high school greets that you did? Especially the girls are scary. Don't know where they got all the time to work out those greets. But stay focused on what I'm calling you to do. Then, moving on. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in that house, eating, drinking, what they provide. Don't go to other houses. The Lord gives a few things. He says, heal the sick. And say to him, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Like we did with Marilise, we are able to say, go to Paul. Take our peace with you. Take your peace and go minister there. Take the compassion that Christ has given you and go minister there. See, it's the compassion of the gospel. And Jesus prepares the way. Christ's heart is to reach to the ends of the earth. Christ has intense compassion for the harvest. He truly is serious about the harvest. There's something that I'm seeing in the world today, really ministering, and we're just going to slide with the body of Christ. See, the world hungers for greed. Where the saints desire unity. Our commonality in this room is the cross. Agreed? Shared this morning, I think I should share it again. I've in my life made the mistake of playing golf twice. And I was trying to work a commonality. Have you ever met golfers or guys that fish? Fishermen are the worst. Oh my word, I was stuck on a boat in December. I didn't realize that people can talk so much rubbish. For so many hours straight, men are incredible. Ladies, you have nothing on us. It was incredible. I've never laughed so much in my life. Two men and myself on the boat, and it was the funniest day of my life. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But not the boat story, but let's get back to the golf story. So, I really struggled with this golf because my good two mates are talking golf, and it's all golf, and it's this golf and that golf, and you have to have this cap, and you need to have that, this, that, and the other. And I went with them, and we were in Parijs. I don't know if anyone's been in Parijs. There's nothing there but a golf course. If anyone lives there, do you guys come from Parijs? You just been, you visit there a lot. So you spend a lot of time on the golf course. There's nothing else there. Okay, any guys? Sorry, I missed everything that was there. It was just frightfully scary for me. So my good friend Colin, he's a big boy. You don't mess with Colin. He's yay high, big boy. Takes a few practice swings, looks, not happy with his practice swings. Again, he goes and looks, comes up to it, practice swings. Then a bigger practice swing, no, still not happy. Looks again at the fairway. And I'm looking at this, I'm saying, Colin, nothing's changed, brother. I promise, nothing's changed. Wind is the same, everything. Hit the ball. And after about 20 minutes, he's ready, and he gets his shimmy shimmy, and he gets in his position, and by this time, I'm undone, okay? I'm weeping, gnashing of teeth, Lord, come fetch me. It's hot. It's Parijs. And he hits this ball beautifully. All right. And then, as if that's not bad enough, now Kuchis does the same. Another half an hour later, and Kuchis, beautiful. And 2.5 seconds later, and now and then I'd actually hit this ball. Now and then I'd hit this ball, and then it'd be beautiful. But then for some reason it thinks it's a boomerang. That way, China, that way. Worst experience of my life. It was so bad, I think about on the sixth or seventh hole, I said, listen, guys, you guys carry on, and I'm just going to go into the spirit. And I just marched up and down, prayed for everything I could think of. Longest day of my life. I don't know why they wanted to carry on so much, because I think they beat the ball like 20 times in total. I hit the ball like 300 times. I must have had a lot more fun than they did. I mean, it's hit the ball. Commonality. I had nothing in common with those guys. The commonality that we have is Jesus Christ. It's what binds us together. If it wasn't for Jesus, most of us wouldn't hang. Agreed? I'd still hang with Ryan because he's my brother and he's my gym partner, my accountability partner too. But most of us wouldn't hang. I definitely still want to hang with AB because he's just cool. The rest of you, almost as cool as AB. And the same spirit is in all of us, as we read earlier. And that brings us to a desire for unity. Back, don't go forward yet. But the world hungers for greed. And let's just look at greed. Greed is empowered by lust, control, and it's all about power. Greed says it's mine, and it's mine to control. But we have a different spirit. And this spirit says to us that we desire for one another. We desire for unity. That we may be one. And I believe this is something that's really growing. Scripture says in Proverbs 28, greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Listen carefully. Fighting happens when there's no unity. Not conflict, fighting. Conflict, good. Okay, if you think conflict's bad, it's good. We're not always going to agree, but we don't have to fight. Psalm 133, the Lord commands a blessing on unity. Okay. So, Bernie, you're saying there's no greed in the house of the Lord. No, there can be greed in the house of the Lord. Mostly greed that we struggle with, greed of significance, greed to be seen, greed to be recognized. Where there is greed, there's a lack of compassion. I've been told that I'm not able to give positive sermons. It's true. Next slide. I've been asked to give more uplifting sermons. But the truth is that when you accept the gospel and the truth, that is uplifting. And there's nothing more uplifting than the truth of Jesus Christ. That's how I see it. All right. It's when we become a slave to the gospel that we become unified. Stay. Say, whoa. Now, I could have used a myriad of examples there. It's when we become more like Jesus that we become unified. It's when we have more compassion that we become unified. But I like the way Paul takes it, and I don't call myself a Paulinian follower, but I like the way Paul does it. He does it so beautifully in Romans, when he greets Romans 1 verse 1, Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 9, speaks about slavery to Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is you're either a slave of the enemy or you're the slave of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, so not me. You can crucify Jesus for that. Ooh. All right. It's when we become a slave, right, to the gospel that we become unified. So how? When we are filled with compassion, we are transformed into slaves of the gospel. Hence, the more compassion, the more transformation. All right. And now before you all stone me, I really do have some good news. Amen. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Let's look at the word slave. Next slide. A person held in servitude as the chattel of another. Yeah, Google that word. Chattel being property or ownership. Slaves, have you noticed that slaves are probably not, because it's not like we live in a time of slavery, but slaves are equal. They live in commonality, right? Their right is they have no right. When I was preparing this sermon, you start racking your brain. What do I know about slaves? And then the only thing, I know Greg would have loved this. I'm sure Abby will enjoy this. The only thing that came to mind is that song of Slave to the Music. Okay, so. Children of the 90s. The rest of you, don't worry. Whitfield, what was it? Hey, na, na, na. Huh? There you go. Thank you, Juliet. If you're under 30, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Any case. Tough crowd. A real good example of slavery is this new movie that's come out that's based on an old movie that came out called Ben-Hur. Has anyone seen it? Some of you? Okay. Do yourself a favor. I know there's bad reviews on the movie. Go watch the movie. It takes a different spin on Jesus Christ, and I love it. It's not about Jesus. It's about a man that was living in Israel at that time, and he's a prince of Israel. It's called Judah. And he's wealthy, and he's living this wealthy life, and something goes wrong. It's in the time of Jesus Christ. He actually runs into Jesus. And It's the tension of the Roman Empire. Beautiful, beautiful movie. And this guy loses everything. He becomes a slave in the gallows for 5 years. Whipped, beaten for 5 years. And at the end of this movie, very long story, he comes to Jesus. and how he's transformed because of that experience of slavery. Beautiful, beautiful movie. I don't want to ruin it for you. Go watch it. You see, God's called us to be a slave of compassion, a slave of righteousness, a slave of humility, versus the slave of lust. See, we have such a bad connotation with the word slavery. Isn't it awesome that I can be a slave of compassion? Mama Sylvia, help me. Thank you, Mama Sylvia. Isn't it great that we can be a slave of righteousness? So how do we do this, chaps, ladies? I believe Romans 5 gives us a little taste of it. Okay. Also, a very well-known scripture. I'm really hammering on the well-known scriptures. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Oh, no, here we go again. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because why? God's love has been poured into our hearts through. It's not your job. It's the role of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. You cannot have compassion. You cannot. By yourself, you cannot have compassion. You cannot have what Gert had at that hospital. See, Gert was ready. He was like, Lord, take me. Here I am. Let's go. And the Lord said, whoa, 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 Gert. There's just one thing I need to tweak here. And so what did Gert do? Gert made space for the Holy Spirit. That's all he did. It's simple enough to say, shift up at the table. Make space. When we make space for the Holy Spirit, he comes in and gives us compassion. He can't help himself. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's part of his character. So all you need to do is take a step back. Lord, I want compassion. You see, when God would give me those grievings and I grieved for people, I grieved for church movements, I grieved for cities, I grieved for countries, I would go into incredible times of incredible worship and incredible prayer in my room all by myself. It didn't happen just because it happened. I asked for it. I went to God and I said, Lord, I want to be able to, I'm reading all these stories and these things. I want to be intercessor. I want to be able to weep over something. I want to feel your heart. I want to see as you see. And I made space for the Holy Spirit. And God took that space. And incredible things happened. I had incredible dreams, incredible visions, still do. Because God starts giving you compassion. See, there can be a person on the street, and I can go up to him and say, brother, I really want to bless you. And you can take him to McDonald's, buy him a Happy Meal. You can bless him, pray over him, and still have no compassion for him. And if you don't have compassion for him, you're not going to be able to change his life. You're not going to be able to connect with him. There needs to come a place where we have compassion. Where God moves in your innermost being. It's when you're walking down the street and the Lord says to you, I want you to give that man over there, 100 rand. And you go, but Lord, I have no money. Go draw 100 rand. Go make sure you'll be here. Go, just go do it. And you go, yes, Lord. And for a complete stranger, you say, here's 100 rand. And like Gert's testimony was, God cares. Do you know how many people are walking around that asks God, do you still care? I had such an amazing morning. We sent Henri and Murray, them are going to Bloemfontein. And we were able to send them this morning. And for those of you who have walked the road with Henri, she was a pastor here, and prayed for many of you and walked with many of us. And Murray was as sick as a man gets. He was close to death. He had man flu. And so Henri arrives with baby, and she's singing, she's worshiping. And I don't know how this happens, right? I didn't put up my hand, I promise. But the next thing is, I've got this pram. And I'm sitting up in front, because you know how the front, no one sits at front, right? So I'm a silly fool that sat up in front. So yeah, I've got this pram with my laptop in my one hand and the pram in the other, just going through my notes. So I did what a Christian should do. I noticed Sophia wasn't sleeping. So yeah, for those of you that aren't parents yet, you can pray a child to sleep. And I prayed the child to sleep. I said, Lord, I pray this child will sleep. You laugh. I looked. She's sleeping. Thank you, Jesus. True story. Second time in my life that happens. I don't hang around kids too often. Very selfish prayers, most definitely. But then I was having a conversation with Henri and a few of the moms around this thing. And they're saying, you know, how a child is able to make you just become undone. And you've prayed for this child to sleep. And then you've commanded the child to sleep. And then you've done your rain dance to make this child sleep. And then lastly, you before God, Lord, don't you love me? We've all been there. You've been in a place where all you needed was just compassion. Just someone to pick up the phone and say, listen, bro, you're my heart. How's it going? Amen? And that's in the house. How much more so for someone on the street that doesn't know Jesus? In the building that doesn't know Jesus? In the Ferrari, in the Lamborghini, not knowing Jesus? And all it takes is for you just to take a step back, allow the Holy Spirit a little bit of space, and He'll say, I've got a word for this person. And you're able to just bring truth. And it's God. And the guy will tell the testimony, and he'll say, yo, that guy, I think his name was Bernie. Or Barney. Then you know it was God, because I ain't no Barney, brother. Because they met with Jesus and they didn't meet with you. You were just plugged in. You just had the same spirit. And it's able to minister out of that place of deep, deep compassion. Right. This evening, you are, as you're sitting there, beautiful. You are, as you're sitting there, a saint of Jesus Christ. You are righteous. You are bought and paid for. You are perfect. Christ has done that for you. And so what we're doing tonight is we're just taking one step deep into the river. You have compassion. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have compassion. But I believe there's a deeper place, and I believe that will be our first fruits of someone that just goes, I want to get a bit deeper into that compassion thing, Jesus. I want to love as you love. In that, we will find our unity. In that, we will become one as the body. So now I've taken a bit of a different angle on this, but I really feel it's an important angle. I bet if we were to put up our hands, and we'd have to ask everyone who's got a problem, most of us will have some other problem. My DSTV doesn't work. My Ferrari broke down. I failed an exam. I lost a loved one. I'm sure all of us have something. And I bet you the other half, if I could split it halfway, would have the solution for that. But I think so often, because we just take a little bit more space of the Holy Spirit, we aren't able to quite hear clearly. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for this unexpected raise. I'm in need. I've just lost my job. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And another bonus on top of that, too. Wow. Didn't see this coming. Into my savings. Hallelujah. I'm unemployed for 2 months. Wow, Lord, a spade. That's quite random. What do you want me to do with a spade? Man, I need someone to come and dig a hole at my place. Yeah, whatever. But I truly believe most of the answers we need is in this house. So go ask yourself, Lord, why have you given me this spade? Why have you given me this money? Why have you given me this talent? Why have you given me this time? Why have you put this person across my road? Lord, I think I'm missing it. Can you give me compassion here? Holy Spirit. Boom. So this evening, I want you, we're going to play a song. Can we line up that song, Songline? And I want you to listen to the words. And I put the words up. And I want you to follow it. And if God's speaking to you tonight, or if God's speaking to you in the song and you're feeling a little tug, a little nudge, a little something, you know you're preaching long if your wife is yawning. It's the second time she hears, or probably the 13th time she hears this. Poor wife has to listen to it over and over and over. And as we're ministering this evening, if the Lord's speaking to you, can I ask you a favor? Can you just kneel before God? And if there's not space to kneel where you're at, come kneel up in front or kneel on the sides or kneel in the back. Just go before God and say, Lord, here am I. Just a little bit more compassion. Is that all right? And then we'll close off in prayer. And can I ask that we kill these lights up here? The one on your right. As we play the song. And I want you now, before we play the song, I want you to switch off with the person next to you. Forget that there's anyone in the room next to you. Doesn't sound compassionate, but just do that for now. And I'm going to pray first. Holy Spirit, we just come and give you space in our lives right now. Jesus, we thank you for all the compassion you've given us. But we ask, Lord, for more space for your compassion to minister, Lord. That we'll be able to love more people. People we know and people we don't know. We just ask, Lord, that you'll give us compassion. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and minister now in this song. We remove our minds and we open our hearts. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the Great Commission. That we can go out into the entire world, making disciples, baptizing them in your name. We come and ask, Lord, that you will rekindle passion for people. That we'll be reminded of those that are not of your flock. And that we can woo and draw them to you, Lord, like you did, Lord, every time, Lord. You moved in compassion and then you'd lay your hands on someone and you just heal them. You would have a word for someone, Lord. And then you'd speak it. Because you every time came with a compassion from the throne room of God, the Father himself. Holy Spirit, we come and ask for Damascus experiences in our lives like you did with Gert. Where we're on the road, we might be on the road to work, we might be on the road to go and heal someone, we might be on the road home, but we're on a road. And you come and you transform us, you change us, because we have a moment in your presence. Where you touch us in the inner being. I remember a testimony where Sias shares where he parked a car next to a person, a young lady. Stay as you are. Please stay where you are. And he parks his car next to a young lady, stops at the robot, and he has an intense moment in the spirit, and he knows immediately he must pray for her, and he just goes for it. And he's praying for her. And the next thing, right there, she breaks. Boom. Weeping. Because he made a bit of space for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go and do something uber amazing. The Lord's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to throw you under the truck. He's not going to ask you to do the impossible. He'll meet you where your faith is at. It's not by what you can do. You can't do it. You can't do it. I need to tell you, you are going to fail. You know those exams that you felt like the professor or the teacher purposely made a test that you're going to fail? It's that test. You're not going to pass. But if all you put down on that piece of paper is Holy Spirit, you get 100%. It's all you do. And so, Lord, we come and we say, Holy Spirit, come and give us that compassion of Jesus. That we might have compassion for one another. For our brothers and our sisters, but not only compassion for one another, but we'll have compassion for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's busy speaking to you, can where you're sitting grab someone next to you and let's pray together? If we're going to conclude here, but if you still want to make right with God, and you still want to pray, please pray. Even if you want to pray alone, can I ask for holy space here? We're going to have no noise here. We're just going to pack up our stuff and leave. Don't greet anyone inside here. Remember, focus. Greet everyone outside. But let's give space for the Lord just to come and minister. And for those of you, for the intercessors and some of the leaders, if you can just walk around and you see someone praying, can you just lay hands on them and pray with them? Encourage them. Thank you, guys. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're anointed. Go and change the world. Have a great week. See you guys next week.